Boker Tov. Today's daf is daf Chof Aleph in Tanis. Right from the top of the page. Ilfa Rabbi Yochanan, these two rabbis, they're both great, they're both like Tanoim. Rabbi Yochanan's not really in the Gemara, but he's a Gemara, but he's a great rabbi. Maybe Ilfa also. Avigars of Araisa, they were learning Torah. The Chigula Milsa, Tuba, they were very poor. Amri, they figured, okay, we got to go out and make some money, make a living. Nakam Benazel, Beneva Diska, let's go out and do some business. Menekayim Benafshin, and we'll interpret the Pasuk, we'll Mekayim the Pasuk, Efes, but ki lo yeh b'cha evyom. You won't have any poor people among you. In other words, like b'cha, among you, the Pasuk Pshat is li'lev chevyon. If you'll be good, you won't have poor people. But you know, the Pasuk says they'll never stop from being poor people, but this pasuk interpret ki lo yia b'cha evyon. You won't be poor. Azlu osfa tusei guda riya. I guess they went out on a lunch break one day and they were sitting near a weak wall. That's why the Gemara of this case is brought down here. The story, because they were discussing yesterday about weak walls, and that if weak walls fell, that's not a simon to make a tanis. You don't make a fast for a weak wall that fell, only if a earthquake came and knocked down sturdy walls. So they sat under this wall. They were sitting and they went out, you know, they were sitting having their lunch or whatever, Aruchat Eser. They were sitting eating. Asu Trei Malach HaSharis, two angels came. Shammai Rabbi Yochanan, Damar Chalachbar. Rabbi Yochanan overheard one of the angels telling the other, Neshtei Elai Hai Guda, let's cause this wall to fall on these two. V'nektalinu, will kill these two rabbis. Shemanichin Chayola Mabo, Voskim Chayashah, because they're Osek in this world, instead of they left the yeshiva, they stopped learning Torah, or didn't stop entirely, but they stopped learning it, let's say, full time in order to make a living. Amalei Idach, the other Malach told him, Shefkin will leave them, Deikav Uchad, because one of them, the Kaim Lashata, one of them is going to be very successful. One of them is going to be very successful, his time hasn't come yet, and he's not roy to die right now. Rabbi Yochanan heard this conversation between the two malachim. Ilfa lo shama. Ilfa didn't hear it. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Ilfa, shama marmidi. Did you hear any? Did you just hear something? Did you hear anything over here? Amar lo, I didn't hear anything. Amar. So Rabbi Yochanan said to himself, midas shamayana, since I heard it. Ilfa lo shama, I didn't hear it. Shema mino vidi kaim gishat. It must be that the message was meant for me. In other words, message was meant for me. All right, listen, don't kill them now, because this guy, one of these guys, is destined for greatness. He's going to become a great Rosh Hashiva. So Rabbi Yochanan said, the Hadar Vukan Ashur. Rabbi Yochanan said to himself, I'm going to go back to the yeshiva. What about becoming, taking myself out of poverty? Vukan Ashur, I'll fulfill I'll fulfill these words. Ki lo yecht aleven mikervaretz, because it will never be, poor people will never stop existing in the world. In other words, I will fulfill a different pasuk. I wanted to fulfill the pasuk ki lo yecht aleven, you shouldn't be poor. I'll fulfill a different pasuk of ki lo yecht aleven mikervaretz. So, in other words, I'll go back to yeshiva and come poor. Rabbi Yochanan went back to yeshiva. Ilfa lo harer. Ilfa stayed in the business world. Adosa Ilfa, when Ilfa returned from his selling trip or whatever, from making money, Malach Rabbi Yochanan became the Rosh Yeshiva. Amulo, they told Ilfa, I asiv mar vigoris lohavi molech mar. In other words, there's two ways to learn this. One, the Tosas, this little Tosas over here, brings down, Amulo, I asiv mar, if you hadn't been milav malech, I asiv mar, if you had learned instead of Rabbi Yochanan, if you had gone back to yeshiva and learned, you don't think you would have been the Rosh Yeshiva? In other words, you're greater than Rabbi Yochanan. Had you gone, you would have gone back. Another way is to learn it just benichusa, that he said that they told Rabbi Yochanan, when Ilfa came back, when Rabbi Yochanan was already the Rosh Yeshiva, they told him, if you had learned, then Rabbi Yochanan wouldn't have become Rosh Yeshiva, rather you would have. Also, so Ilfa was upset by this, and as he's saying, like, oh, Rabbi Yochanan sat and learned, he was greater than I am, I still know more. Also, Tlas Atolan Afshe Be'askar Desven, so he went and he hung himself up from the mast of a ship, like a tall pole. Amr Iikid the Shaoli Maslis, if anybody could ask me a brisa, Drabhiya Rabosh, Rabhiya Rosh or Tamidim of Rebbe, and you could ask me any brisa, they said, Velo Pashtina Le Maslisin, and I won't give you the source for that brisa from the Mishnah. And the film of the Askura Dasfina, I'll jump down, I'll throw myself off the mast, the Tavana, and I'll drown. As I'm willing to kill myself if I can't answer any question, meaning just show me a Gemara and I'll show you the source from the Mishnah. Asa Husava, so an elder came there, Tanalei, and he quoted from this brisa that he learned, Homer Tanu Shekel Lebenai B'Shabbos. A man is on his deathbed, and he says, listen, I want to ration the inheritance. I don't want to give it all to these boys at one shot, because you know what kids can be like. They'll take the whole thing, they'll blow it on the horses, and nothing will be left. So I want to give them a shekel a week. Give my family one shekel a week. The truth is, their needs are great. There's a big family, and they need a seller, which is double the amount of a shekel. No seller, you give them more. Technically, you know, they're entitled to the whole thing by Yerusha. But he said, proportion it out. Give them a seller. So if they need more, you give them a seller. V'imam, he said, I'll take them el shekel. He said, only give them a shekel, no more. And he knows them a shekel. Imam, if he said, listen, if all the kids die, mesu, Yarshu Acherim Tachten, then it should go afterwards to such and such people. Then obviously he wanted to ration it even more. And even if he didn't say don't give him only a shekel. He said give him a shekel. But if he said when they're done, if they die, give it to another person, it shows he wanted to conserve the estate. So Bein Shomer Tunu Bein Shomer Alten, whether he said give him a shekel or whether he said only give him a shekel, and he knows him a shekel, he said only give him a shekel. So this is what he said. If a man says all these things, this is how you fulfill his words. That's what this elderly man, this Saba, said to Ilfa. So Ilfa replied, Amalei Hamani or Meir. You know what the source of that is? It's the Shita or Meir. Dover Mitzvah time, the very mess. That's the source. That's what's that based on? He says, quote for me any Bryce, and I'll tell you what it's based on. I'll tell you it's based on Shita or Meir. So it's the Mitzvah of the kind, the very mess. Even though technically it doesn't follow the, it's not really the Arusha. But if a man says that, that's how you meant to give it. So he interpreted that it was meant as a gift. In other words, that he took his whole estate and you can gift it. A man can gift everything that he has before death, and then there's no Yerusha at all. So he did it like this, Mitzvah Kaim Devarim Es.
There are four things that are just completely inappropriate about this story.
Yeah, four things.
No, I mean,
About what, throwing himself off the mast?
The whole story.
Yeah.
Tying yourself on the mast and saying, and then somebody saying, okay, let's say, I'm going to give you a challenge so that if you get wrong, you need to die.
If they were on a different level, these guys. You know, he was so sure of himself that he had no problem doing it. Amar Lav al Nachum Ish Gamzu. Here's another story with a weak wall. Famous story of Nachum Ish Gamzu. This man, Nachum, who, by the way, he was the Rebbe of Rabbi Kiva, right? Al Nachum Ish Gamzu. He was called Gamzu. We'll see. He's called Ish Gamzu. Today we have a Moshav called Gimzu or Gamzu. Al Nachum Ish Gamzu. Shoya Suma Mishayev. He was blind in both eyes. Gida Mishayev, both hands were, he was missing both hands. And Kita Mishayev, he had no feet either. If that wasn't enough, his whole body was full of boils. But Yamut Beisru, and he was in a very weak house, a house that could have fallen down. For he was in such bad shape that they kept the feet of his bed in tubs of water, so that the ants shouldn't crawl on him. You see, the assumption is that a man who has hands and feet can push the vermin off, can push the ants and little insects off of him. But he had no hands and no feet. So they put the feet of his bed in water so no animals, the vermin couldn't crawl up on him. Pamach is one time. We said Pamach, we already said, his house was in a weak, his bed was in a weak house. They wanted to take his bed out of that house because the house was going to fall down. And so they said they'll take his bed out. Take him and his bed out of the house. Afterwards, they'll remove the furniture. Amr Lahem Benai, my sons, Penuas Akalim, first take out the furniture. The Achakach Penuas Mitosin. And then afterwards, take out my bed. Shemuftach Lahem, because you can rest assured, Kozman Shani Bais, as long as I'm in the house, and a Bais Nofil. In my Schus, right, that I'm suffering, and the Schus that I have, the house won't fall while I'm here. So if you want to save the furniture, take the furniture out while I'm still in here. Right? So Kozman Shani Bais, ain't a bias, no fill. So Pinos accounts, they first removed the furniture. V'yachkach Pinos and Yitoso. Then they took out his bed. And as soon as he left, no fill a bias, the house fell down. Amul Tamid of Rebbe, Yechaviyachash, it's Tzadik Gomor Ato. Since you're such a great Tzadik, that you see the house just did not fall in your merit. Lam also chakach, why are you in such bad physical shape? Amalan Bonai, Anigo Ramtilasma, it's my own fault. It's my own fault. I caused it myself. One day I was on the road to my father-in-law's house. Not clear if this was a good thing or a bad thing. Why it's mentioned, the father, he didn't say he was on the road. He was on the road to his father-in-law's house. And with me was Masui Alo Gimel Chamorim. I had a payload of three donkeys. All right. In other words, I had like three donkeys with their payloads on them. Echad shamacha, echad shemishta, echad shemigan. One had food, one had drink, and one had delicacies. Ba'ani echad, a poor man approached me. Va'amali b'derech, stood right before me in the road. Va'amali Rebbe, sir, my master, panaseini, please give me something to eat. I'm dying. Amarti lo, he says, okay. I said, okay. Hamten ashefrak menachamor. Wait till I unload the animals. In other words, like push him off. He didn't just immediately go grab a polka or something and give him to eat. He said, wait till I'll unload and wait till I do it in an orderly fashion. I'll give you some tea. I wasn't able to complete unloading the animal. Until the man died. He wasn't able to do it, but the man died. Halachti ben falti al panav, and I went there and I fell on my face for Marty, and I cursed myself. Marty, einai shlo chasu. In other words, he didn't realize the guy was dying, and he needed some food right away. He couldn't wait till later on, you know, like come back tomorrow, right? So he blamed himself. He says, my eyes that had no rachmanas, and your eyes should be blinded. Yadai shlo chasu adecha, my hands that had no rachmanas, and your hands, your scalp, should be cut off. And I still wasn't at ease until I said, my whole body should be full of voice. By the way, this curse, like Hashem fulfilled this curse also on him, as if to say what a great tzaddik he was, Hashem commanded something and he did it. Amulo, they told him, we've seen you in such a horrible state, you're such a great rabbi. Amulam, he told him, in other words, he was happy to get his punishment for, could be a minor sin. It wasn't like he didn't know how bad the man was in distress, but you got to be careful with these things, right? So he wanted to suffer in this world, and he wanted him to not only to suffer, he wanted people to see him suffer, so he should have his merits in the next world. Why was he called Gamzu? The whole milsa, whatever happened to him, Amr Gamzu Tova. Whenever something happened to him, whether it was good or bad, he always used these words, Gamzu Tova. Zim Nechada, one time, I meant to tell you this. Rashi is on both sides of the page. The Tosfos is in the middle. In the previous story that Rick questioned about Ilfa going up to the top of the mast and saying, "Ask me any question, I'll answer it, and I'll tell you what the source is." And they asked him the story about the man who's dying and wants to give a shekel to his. He says he gives a shekel to every single one of them. A shekel to his family, and then if it's a big family, you can give him a sell, unless he said specifically, either don't give them more than a shekel, or he said, after they die, give it to this other family, as if to show that he meant to conserve the estate. So why did he say this then? So why, if they needed a seller, why did he say give him a shekel? So Rashi at the bottom on the right side and up to the left side says, "Diavibidaited lo met lo el a shekel," and you can give him a seller, because if he were to sell you a shekel, he would say, "Al tiknu lan el a shekel." Why didn't he say originally give himself that was their needs? He wanted to encourage them to go out and work. A man to encourage them to go work. That's to go out and learn the ways of the land. Even though we started this off by saying that Rabbi Yochanan Ilfa almost were killed by the Malach for leaving the yeshiva to go out and work. To get out of the poverty. Rabbi Yochanan was destined for a great thing, and hopefully these were great, great rabbis. But for the average Joe, when the father told them, go out, give them all a shekel, they really needed more than that. Well, let them go out and learn the ways of the work. Let them go out and earn a dollar and learn what it means to, learn the meaning of the money. So, what happened in this story? So we see the story of Nachum Ish Gamzu also with a weak wall. That's the other story here with a weak wall. And then we said that why he was punished, why he was in such a bad state, because he willed it upon himself, because he felt he was he was worthy of that punishment because he had not paid enough attention to the poor person, and he should have immediately grabbed some food and give it to him, not tell the guy, wait till I unload properly. So he's called Ish Gamzu because whatever happened to him, he always said Gamzu Tov. Zim Mechara, back in the Gemara, Zim Mechara, we're about 12 lines from the bottom of the page. Zim mecharabolish dur Yisrael dor levehez. And one day the Jews, who were always subjected, you know, they were under the subjugation of the ruling Caesar, whoever the, you know, the king was. So the one day they wanted to send him a gift, you know, a goodwill offering to the Caesar. Amr, they said, man Yezel, who should go? Who should we send him? They said, Yezel nochem ishgamzu. We'll send Yechem ishgamzu, even though he had no feet and no hands. And he's saying, so then they had, you know, obviously he had to be carried. But let's send him. Why? Demeluma benisim, who? He's a man who knows miracles. In other words, it's, you know, if anything goes wrong, this guy is the guy we want. He's our good luck charm. Shadr biyadei, so they sent him in his hands, and as they sent with him, Moli sifta davonim tovos miros, they sent with him a chest full of precious stones and pearls. Uzzle, he went, bas bahudira. And he, obviously, he had to stay overnight in an inn somewhere, so he stayed overnight in a certain apartment. Belayla, in the middle of the night, kamu hanafdir, the other residents got up, v'sheklinu l'sifta, as they were wont to do, they saw the guy had a chest full of stones, so of course, what do? They took it away from him. Of course, he had deposited it in the hotel safe, you know, but it didn't help much. They opened up the safe, they took out the chest, and they took out all the stones, of course, and they filled it with dirt. This is, of course, a famous story that all the kids know. Next day when he saw, according to this version, you see in the parentheses, if you learn with the parentheses, he knew what was going on. In other words, he noticed that it was all dirt, and he said, he still got to Latova. According to the version, if you take out that, he didn't realize it till he got there, right? He went along blindly thinking that he was blind, right? He went along thinking that, you know, it says Lamachar ki chazinu, because when he saw it, he couldn't see, he was blind, right? But I guess the others told him it was only dirt. He said, Gamzul Tova. Or if you learn without that, he didn't even know. He just went along with the chest towards the king, thinking that it was full of the precious stones. Kimotehos, and when he got there, Sharunalus, if they opened up his chest, chazinu lumaf, they saw it was full of dirt. Malcolm Magdalena Lukulu. He wanted to kill all of them. Rashi says he wanted to kill all of them. Son Ish, meaning he wanted to kill the whole Jewish people. Amr Kamachai Kudo. What are they making fun of me? They send me a chest full of dirt. Amr Gamzul Tova. On this, he also said Gamzul Tova. Nachamish Gamzul. Also Eliyahu Navi came. Admalik Chaminayu. He appeared to be one of the officers in the king's court. One of the goyim there. Amr Lei says, wait, before you do anything, before you issue that harsh edict, maybe this is the special dirt, maybe this is the magic dirt. Magic dirt? What magic dirt? Amalei dil maha afram me'afad avram avam. Maybe this is from the dirt of Avram, their father. Dichavishad afra, when he would throw dirt, havisayf, it would turn into swords. Gili, when he would throw straw, havigir, it became arrows. Dichsiv yitin gafar harbo, he makes his sword into dirt, and Kashni Dov Kashni, he makes his bow into stubble or straw that's wind blown. So maybe this is that special dirt. There was one country, there was one locality, one state that this king was not able to conquer. Babku Mine, they tried using that dirt, and they threw that dirt at that country, Vikavshu, and they were able to conquer it. In other words, and miraculously, the dirt did become like the dirt of Avram, that when they threw it, became swords and arrows. Ailu Beginze, so they took Nachamish Gamzu and his contingent into his treasure store, or whatever, his treasure area. Umalo Lasifte Avram Tavos Margos. And now, he, you know, even though the Nachamish Gamzu had originally departed with all these stones, and then they were stolen from him, now the king made it up again. He also filled up his chest with precious stones and pearls. Vishadru biyakarava, and they sent him home with great honor. So now he thought he was going to take the stones there, the good stones, and now he's coming home with them. Kiyasu, when they were traveling, Besu Bahudura, they stayed in the same inn where they had stayed on the way there. Probably they had mileage points, you know, from that place. You know, like you have a car, you know, for the same motel chain. So he wanted to stay in the same place, right? So they stayed in that same place where he'd been robbed the first time. But remember his attitude. So you say, don't stay there. Those are bad guys. Remember his attitude was, Gamzu Latova, right? Basically, Amalei, my asus badoch. So, what did you take with you that they give you this great honor? They were like amazed. They figured These guys are going to be killed. They brought a chest full of dirt. So what did you bring with you that they gave you such great honor? Amalie told them, my deshak l'melech, I'm blossom. Whatever I took from here, I brought there. Whatever was in my chest, that's what I took. You guys filled it up, you know. So these guys figured that they really did have magical dirt. Sussel the dryo, they destroyed their homes, you know, they the stone and the dirt, they had dirt homes. Vamtulim and Malkana, they took all the dirt that they could find, they destroyed everything, and they took it to the king. Amrle, they said, king, hi Afra, the icy hocha midinav. The dirt that was brought here by the other guy, that Nachum guy, it came from our land, and we're bringing even more now. But they checked the Velashkhu, they couldn't, it wasn't miraculous anymore. This wasn't special. It was plain dirt. They cut little after and they killed those in heaven. So that was the story. You're amazed by this story too?
There's another interpretation.
Yeah.
Kaddish Lutov doesn't mean you do something stupid afterwards. If you know that they're a thief, your uncle, Kaddish Lutov doesn't mean you go back and mm-hmm.
It's not an acceptance of fate.
Yeah.
Fatalism.
So
right.
He went back there knowing that he would.
He would cause their death. Why wasn't he afraid that they're going to kill him now, or that they're going to? Apparently, they weren't murderers, right? They didn't kill him, but why wasn't he afraid they were going to take? He went back there with nothing to fear, like you say. They weren't going to kill him because they didn't kill him the first time. What's the worst that can happen? That they would take the precious stones, etc. He didn't care about the precious stones anyway. He wasn't going to use them. He went with what was? What did he have to lose? You know. So whatever the story was, you know, he had nothing to lose.
You know what time Super Tubber reminds me of? We had a man in Chicago. Every other word was Baruch Hashem. Baruch
Hashem, right?
Once I asked him, I said, "How's your wife?" He said, "Baruch Hashem, she's sick."
Yeah. I think he said, Baruch Hashem, she's sick, and Gamzu
Latova.
Her name
was Tova.
Yeah. Ezui Dever, back to our Mishnah. He said in the Mishnah, back on Yates, that that Dever, right, for that you rally the troops, right? You're Masriyan, you call out, you blow the shofar. And he says, what is the case of Dever? Ezo Dever, what's exactly considered Dever? So he says like this: Ezo Dever, I'm a tzir chamishma, a city that has like five that they can make an army of 500 men. Means it's not just 500 inhabitants. I'm a tzir chamishma os ragli. That means like they can put out 500 foot soldiers or whatever. Meaning not infantry besides the women and children and elders whatever. But a city that can produce 500 men. If there are three people die there 3 days in a row, that's considered Dever. That's considered a plague. Ezu Dever. So he's the Erem Matzeh HaMeshmer. So the Gemara Tanah Rabban, the Brisa is like this. The Brisa gives an example. You know, so he said 500, if you have 500 and one person a day dies. What he's trying to say, the Gemara is going to try to say that that's proportionate, that's the real number we're dealing with. It's not stomp throwing out 500. So he says like this. Here, Erem Matzeh HaMeshmer, the Eleph, rightly, a city that's got 1,500, so it would be three times that size. In other words, that then the plague would be if three people die per day for 3 days in a row. And Mishnah says if there's 500, that's one per day for 3 days. So the equivalent would be three times as much. If a city has 1,500 men, Kagon Kfaraku, V'yotzei men, Tisha Mason, V'shloshim Mzerachazet, nine people die, three a day, one day after another, Harez et Ever. If they all died in one day, or in Dalit Yom, or in 4 days, that's not Dever. Dever is only this proportion. Otherwise, it's some other tragedy to happen, but it's not Dever. And in our case, like in the case of the Mishnah, this is the Brisa of Yermatzi Chamesh, was like if in a city has 500 people, that was like the case of Mishkan Faramiku, the other man of Shlosh Mason, Begil Yom, Zer Chazeh, Harez Dever, that's considered Dever. Okay, fine. But again, if they all died biyomecha, says the Gemara I'm in base, now we just turn the page. Biyomecha, if they all died in one day or 4 days, ain't a dever. It's got to be, like we said, one a day for 3 days with a proportion out of every 500, one person a day dies for 3 days, that's dever. Drukris, that was a city, that was a city that had 500 people there, 500 men. Three people died in one day. So we just said before that that's not a case of Dever. right? That's a tragedy, but it's not Dever. It's not Dever which you're see, when it's Dever, and it's like a plague. So now you're misbowel for the plague to stop. Whereas opposed to this, this is like, unfortunately, this is like one terrible tragedy. Isn't it interesting? Shloshim Meisim Yomechad, you know, today, look at today's Gemara, Shloshim Meisim Yomechad, after the tragedy, it's, you know, like symbolic. Shloshim Meisim Yomechad. So that's a terrible tragedy. It doesn't mean that, you know, it's going to happen again. So, but what happened, in that city, three people died in one day, and it was only 500, it wasn't three people one a day for 3 days, it was three people one day. Gozer of Nachum Bar of Chista Tanisa, he was Gozer of Tanis. He felt that is considered like a plague. Amar of Nachum Bar Yitzhak, Kaman, who's that go like? Gozer Grameir, to Amar Richik, Nigos of Chayiv, Kir, Nigos of Kolshken. In a short while, we're going to be learning, in about a year or two, we're going to be learning the Zikin. Beginning of Abakam, we all know the famous thing about a difference in a short tam and a short mu'ud. A short tam is one that hasn't gored three times. A short mu'ud is if it gored three times already, then he has to pay the full amount, etc. We learned that in our youth, right? So there's a machlokas over there. Rabbi Yehuda says, what is it, and it has to gore on three separate days to be considered a mu'ud. Rabbi Meir says, no, even on 3 days. But if, let's say, he gored three times in one day, kolshkein. The lashon is richik nigosef. If his gorings were spread out, if he's chayav there, if he did it even closer, then he's certainly a wild animal if he did it three times in one day. So that's what he said. That's the same idea over here. That if you say one mace out of proportion of 500 men in a city, if one a day dies for 3 days, that's considered a plague. If three die in one day, certainly that's considered a plague. So that was Rav Nachman Ben Yitzchak said that in this city where Rav Nachman Bar Chista was Gozer Atanis, so Rav Nachman Yitzchak said, who does it go? Like he's explained, Rav Nachman Yitzchak explained that it goes like our mayor. Amalei Rav Nachman Bar Chista, so Rav Nachman Bar Chista, the one who goes to the Tanis, said to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, now notice their names. Rav Nachman is Bar Rav Chista. Rav Nachman was a rabbi, the son of another rabbi, Rav Chista. He was the rabbi's son, and he was a rabbi. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, just as Yitzchak. Yitzchak, apparently his father wasn't a rabbi. We'll mention that this is important in a minute. So Amalei Rav Nachman Bar Chista, Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Lake Gemara, Lake Gemara, you're such a big Talmid Chacham, why don't you come to our town, this is a better area here. I'm like Tanina or Biosi, we learn a Brisa, Biosi Omer, Lomakom Shlom Machabdo. It's not the place that honors the person, it's the person that honors the place. So don't tell me, what do you tell me to move there? Because that's a better place. It's not the place which is important, it's the person. She came with Sin Barsin, Barsin, Shikosman, Shishkina Shuilov, as long as the Shekhinah was on Har Sinai. Omer Toy versus Gamat Son Barkil Yura, the Son Bakr shouldn't graze nearby El Mulahara, it shouldn't come near. But the Skalka Shekhinah, when the Shekhinah left, then Amr Torah says, "Bimsho Chayovel," when the shofar stops blowing, Hamiel, then they're able to come near. As long as the Omoed is pitched, Amr Torah, they all have to leave, the people are tummy. Huglu, once it's rolled up, Huglu Aparokas, Hutruzav Mitzrayim, because once it's all rolled up, the Parokas, etc., then they can come inside. So you see that. So you see that it's not the place, but it's the person, like so to speak, the Shekhinah is mechaber the place. Amalei ihachi, so he answered, it's not necessary for me to go there. I don't need to go there for more honor. It's the person. Amalei ihachi, if that's the case, maybe I should come to move near you. If it's the person and I respect you so much, maybe I should come to live in your town. Amalei, so Nachum Bar Yitzchak answered him, mutav yavo mona ben pras, better than 100. The son of 50, pros means 50, it means half. So here it's mana, half of 150. Eitzel mana ben mana. In other words, you're the rabbi, the son of a rabbi. I'm the rabbi, the son of a commoner. So better that I should move to you. But I'll be able to mana ben mana. But the hundred, the son of 100, and as a rabbi, son of a rabbi, should not move Eitzel mana ben pros. Basura havadabrasa. In the town of Sura, there was a plague of pestilence. People died. B'shivu said the Rav, in his neighbor though, Rav was from Sura, lived in Sura, but in his neighbor, lo avidavar, said there was nobody was dying over there in his neighborhood. So from there, they thought it's the schus of Rav, because of his great schus, he was such a great rabbi, so his neighbor was saved. The nefesh, because of his great merits, that the neighbors were saved. Ischazlo b'chalma, so, but they were shown in a dream, that Rav, the nefesh schusay tuva, Rav who's got many schuyot, this is a little thing for him. In other words, you don't even have to come on to the schus of Rav. There's a different portion, we have a different way of explaining this. Some say that Rav didn't even have to save his own neighborhood. As a guy who's lesser has got to save his own neighborhood. Who are you just to save yourself? But Rav could have just saved himself. But the portion of Pshad is that Rav that afishes chusay tuva, homeless. This is like a small thing for Rav. Just that his neighbor should be saved from pestilence is not. You don't even need his chuyot are so great that this is like small for him. You know why the neighbor was saved? Mishmahu, there was a certain man, the Shail Mara Basila, who always lent out his spade and his shovel likfura. In other words, Rashi explains it's mita keneged mita. There was a man in the neighborhood who always helped out with the burials. You know, he lent his tools, etc. So because mita keneged mita, because he helped people bury their dead, he was saved. His neighborhood was saved from burying the dead. In other words, the plague didn't affect them. In another city, Drukras, have a delicacy. So there was a big fire spread out through the city. She said, Rav Huna lo avid leksa. The fire miraculously went, covered, consumed the whole city, and in his neighbor, miraculously, it didn't spread there. So, they figured it was chesed Rav Huna, this great merits of Rav Huna, that's why his neighbor was saved. It's chesed chamash, they showed them in a dream, and as Rav Hashem showed the people in a dream, the townspeople, that high zuchalei the Rav Huna, this is a small thing for Rav Huna. He didn't have to waste his schuyot on that. Elo mishimahiyas, the reason that the neighborhood was saved, because there was a woman in the neighborhood, the machamas tenor, she would warm up an oven. In those days, people didn't all have a private oven. She would warm up her oven, umashal l'shivus, and she would let the other people in the neighborhood use up the oven. So again, it's mita keneged mita. She made a fire for everybody, so she was safe, and her neighborhood was safe from being burnt down by fire. Amalei Rav Yehuda, they told Rav Yehuda, asakamsi, locusts, the locusts have spread. In other words, we were detected in the field. There's a swarm of locusts here, and Gozer Tanasi. He said, okay, this is bad because they're going to consume the crops. We're going to have a famine. Amalei lokamafsanim, but we haven't noticed any loss in our crops so far. We told them, have they bought their provisions with them? If you see a swarm of locusts, what are they going to eat? If they haven't eaten them yet, they're going to eat them soon. It's time to call a fast now. There is a plague of some sort of a disease spreading among the pigs. So Gozer, he was Gozer Atanas, even though Jews don't eat pig. Name Xavier Rav Yehuda, maybe the reason why Rav Yehuda was Gozer Tanis, because he felt that Makom Shuleches, once there is a plague or a disease which is spreading, maybe swine flu, very good. right. Name Xavier Rav Yehuda, Makom Shuleches, Mimin Echad Mushuleches, Mikala Minin. Maybe, and as it said, what was the other one called? What was that thing called with the effects of the brain? Mad cow disease, right. Maybe that's, he says, maybe it's reviewed hold that if a disease is in one species of animals, it goes to other species. Otherwise, why should we care if the pigs don't affect us anyway, right? So maybe the reason is because he felt if it affects the pigs, it's next going to affect the cows and the sheep. He says, look, that's the reason. Shiny chazir the damim ma'ayu lebnei inshi. And pigs, for some reason, have innards or stomachs that are more similar to humans than other animals. So the concern was, if it's affecting pigs, it might affect us also. In other words, for example, like cows, etc., we say chew their cud. One of the examples, one of the simonim of kashrus is they chew their cud. What does chewing the cud mean? It goes from one stomach to another. Remember we learned chulin, there's like four stomachs in a cow? So, but apparently pigs have stomachs which are much more similar to humans, right? There was some... was it a heart or something they once tried using? They transplanted a heart of a pig because they said that's a close. There's certain parts of a pig which are closer to that of a human.
Well, they use pig valves now.
They use pig valves now. Right. They use. That's what he said. They use pig valves now for people. Remember the whole thing? They use either the synthetic ones or if they use an original one, they get them from pigs.
Well, there's a lot of humans.
Yeah, that's awesome, right? But not in our neighborhood. Our neighborhood has been saved from that. Shani Chazir to Dami Benai Lebnei Inshi. That's why he was concerned. Amalei L'Shmuel, Ika Muslim Bechazoi. There's a plague in Bechazoi in another town. Shmuel was from Nardaw. This is in Bechazoi, which is a town far away. Gotcha, who's Gozer Tanis? Amalei Vomarach, that's far away. Why are you worried about that? We heard word that there's a plague over there, but we're far away. There's no river that's going to stop it. In other words, it'll spread. If there's a river, you could say it'll stop in the river. Nothing. There's a plague in Israel. Gozer Tanis, even in Babel. Omer, he says, if the master, if the mistress, so to speak, meaning the lady of the house, if she's in, if she's been smitten, shifchol akolshke, and certainly we're secondary to them, we're also going to get smitten. So it sounds like time for the governor shifchol sounds because Eretz Yisrael is the Iker and Bavel is the Tafel. But let's say it's two cities in Bavel. Then if one was smitten, then the other one would not automatically be smitten. I have Amr Shmuel, but they told Shmuel, Ikim Muslim Chazoi, the story we just said, there people are dying in Mechazoi, and he was goes to Tanis here in Nado. So Shani Osim, Kiva the Ikishar Sid Lavoi, Vasi, Vade. It's different there because people travel back and forth between Beit Chazoi and Nado. Like you said, there's no river separating us. People travel back and forth, and they even understood then that the plague would travel with the people. In other words, it's not something that's like, you know, you see something that the rabbis understood. You remember in the old days, in the Black Plague, they thought it was all, you know, spirits and angels. They didn't understand bacteria and disease and things like that, that how it spread. That's what they say. We say that the Jews always, when plagues happened, the Jews were less affected because of their hygiene. They wash their hands before they eat. When we go to the mikveh, things like that, you know, the tefillah, etc. Jews generally had more hygiene. They were generally, even though they were affected by it, but not to the same extent. Anyway, so that's what he said. So that when the disease could spread for whatever reason, or there was reason for concern, they were gozer atanas. Abba Umna, that was his name. Abna the cupper, the man, you know, who drew blood, right? Who performed kazas dam. Also, the Shalom Sifta de Rakia called him every day. A bas kol came down and said, Shalom Alecha. Good morning. Give him Shalom. Ulabaye komal yom de Shabsa. And Abaye got the same greeting from the heavens every Friday. L'Rabu komal yom kippur. Rabu only got it once a year on Yom Kippur. Havakacholshadat Abaye. Abaye first felt very bad. He said, listen, I get a greeting once a week. Who's this guy? He's like a doctor. He's a mere doctor. And right, that was the, that. That caused us nam. That he was a doctor, and he gets a greeting every day. I was very upset about this. So Mishum Abu Umna Amrle told him Lametzis Leder Dekuta. You can't do what he does. This man is unbelievable. When you hear what he does, you'll understand why he was so precious to God. What did he do? What was his custom? What did he do that was so special? And we understand there's a lot of people who could draw blood. So the Chavyavin Milsa, when he would draw his blood, Havimachas Gavar Lechud Vinash Lechud, he would have separate seating for men and women. He wouldn't mix the man with the women. V'Islei Levusha, he had a garment, you know, like an apron that the patient would put on, not like those kind of give you in the hospital where your whole backside is exposed, you know. But he would have this kind of a garment that was very the Isbe Karna that had the horn that would be like, you know, we use like those little glass cups, they look like schnapps glazes, like, you know, what they use in modern times, little cups. They still perform that, you know, certain places, those special cups, those glasses. So he had these glasses that was attached, the special garment, the patient's garment, had the cup attached. It. The Havas Bazia had slits in it, Kikosilta, had slits in it like near the, it's Bekosilta or Kikosilta, near the shoulders. And it had special slits that the women would put on. Kavas also, listen, when a woman come in, Mamshah, he would put on Kikosilta, Stagaba. In other words, it was a tzniyastika garment. It was a modest garment. He was a very fine person. He didn't want to look at her. A doctor could look, and he's a doctor. But no, he wouldn't. He would put it very on in order not to look at her. The Islay Duchted, it says, and he had a very private, like an outside room, like the cashier's. The cashier's desk was a private room. The Shadi Bepshita, the Shadi Bepshita, he put there the money that he took for his payment. People would put it there. The Islay Shadi Bay. Whoever had money would put money there. The Leslay Lo Mosef. A person didn't have money would not be embarrassed. And he didn't demand payment. He just said, like, you know, you put, like, you go to the mikveh over there. You know, they you put money in, fine. It's on an honor system, right? It's on an honor system, right? Huh? So he was doing best. Kavi Yisrim, like, when a rabbi would come, you know, he got a rabbinical clergy discount, right? So when a rabbi would come, he would insist on not taking any money. After he performed the cupping on him, he would give him money. the doctor would give him money. Go buy something to eat. Go make yourself healthy. Yom Chag one day. So this is what a great man he was. He kept everything modest, and he didn't take any money. A very fine person. So that's why he was zocher this. So Yom Chag Shadar Abaye Zugar Rabbanan. Abaye sent a pair of rabbis to check him out, to test him. He was so upset by this. Again, you know, we're attributing Abaye was jealous. He didn't get it. You know, how do you understand all this? He meant for great things. Hard for us to understand this. So Shadar Abaye Zugar Rabbanan. Lemiftekei. And if Irving would be here, he would question this. He'd be upset by this. You know, what are you testing him for? You're upset. Yes, we have to understand that. We don't understand. In other words, Abaye wanted to be on a greater madrig. He says, "What can I do to be on his level?" Right. So,
Shudder. Were the Gemara simply not worried about portraying rabbis as human beings?
Yeah. Well, you know, he's not worried that it does portray as human beings, right? Yeah. So Shudder Abaye Chad Zugir Rabbanan. Let me have to check him. Osvinu. So what did he do? He sat them down. Abba Umna set them down. An Umna is also like a Moel, the Gemara calls it an Umna. And it's a craftsman who deals with the blood, right? Osfinu, so he set them down, Bechlin, he gave them to eat, Shkinu, Umachlu, Bistarke, Belaila. And he spread out for them, he folded up for them like a wooden blanket or whatever to sleep at night. But not for the next morning, Kachinu, they rolled up the blanket, Vishaklinu, they took it with them. They got up, and this is part of the test. They were going to test him. They went out to the market, right? They found him in the market. They found the cupper, the guy that they stole the stolen quotes. They took the blanket. They found him. Omerle, the Shamar, could you appraise this for us? We're trying to sell it, and you know, and we like to appraise it. So you think you say, well, you're trying to sell my blanket? So Amle Shaimar, so Heichisha, how much is it worth? Amle Hachivach, this is how much it's worth. Amle Vidilma Shavut Fei, they said, well, maybe it's worth more. Maybe you're underpricing it. You know, they thought one thing, but they were just maybe he was underpricing it to buy it back at a lower rate. Vidilma Shavut Fei, Amle Bachi Shaknu, that's what I paid for it. You want to know what's worth more? That's what I paid for it. In other words, he didn't even say, hey, you got my blanket. No, he said, that's what I paid for it. I'm just giving you an honest thing. Amalei, the Dachnun there, you know, they said, listen, it's yours. It really is yours. It really is yours. Vishaklun Menach, we took it from you. Amalei, they told them, listen, Matusanach, we beg of you, Machashin, please tell us. And as you passed the test, you didn't call us crooks, you didn't demand it back, you know, you didn't say anything. Pardon? They what?
They were crooks.
Well, let's first the story. They were just trying to test them out. So, but my chashdinu, what were you choshes? I figured, and as you knew, you obviously knew it was yours. You didn't say anything. What did you suspect? This? I'm in a pidyon shvuyin eklar, but I figured the rabbis had a case of pidyon shvuyin. They had to get some money quickly, right? They're svula memeli, and they didn't want to tell me exactly. Listen, can you give us a donation? You hand ya. So they figured, you do it in this roundabout way of taking advantage of my hospitality and then taking it that way. That's what I figured. Amulei hashdin eshdinu mar. So, okay, listen, okay, the test is over, you passed the test, please, here's your blanket back. Amalu, no. Mehu shaita, from that time that I figured that it was for pidyon shvuyim, achsinu midaita l'tzdaka, I took my mind was off. In other words, I figured that I didn't want it anymore, I gave it a tzdaka, I don't want it back. So that was the story, that was a great man. It's not only was he great in his deeds, but that he was melamed tzchus on the people who stole from him, that he figured they needed the money. Now Rava felt even worse. Remember, Rava got visited only once a year, right? Mishum Dabaya, Amalei, listen, Mistayach, it's enough for you to come back and sakul akecha. Your whole city exists in your schus, so don't complain. It's good enough for you. Rava, he didn't go through this whole story. Ravaka Chazoa, Havashkik Mashuka, Debei Loft. He used to go to this marketplace, Bei Loft. Havashkik Eliyahu Gabei. Eliyahu used to also come visit him. Amalei, he told Eliyahu, Ika Bahai Shuka Bar Almados. Is there anybody here who's going to be in the next world? I'm really low. Nobody's. There's no. I don't see anybody. All of a sudden, Chazal Ahushgav. He saw a man. Davisayim Esaniyach, who wore black shoes or black laces. He wore. It wasn't the Jews didn't wear black shoes. It was a sign of goyim. But Lora Michuta the Chesed Bugim. He also had no tzitzis on. I'm really high bar almasi. So the other said, that's the man. That guy's going into the next world. So he couldn't figure what's going on. Rava Tzvi ran after him. I'm like, what are you? Who are you? What do you do? Amalei, Zilid Natalamachar. I don't have time now. Come back tomorrow, I'll talk to you. Lamachar Amalei Mach, what do you do? Amalei, Zandukna Ana, right? And I am a jail keeper, right? I'm a jail guard. Vasruna gavra l'chud v'nash l'chud. And I make sure that the men and women are kept separately. V'raminu pariah ben hanigan. And I keep my bed there. I sleep between them to make sure, you know, they didn't have proper facilities with walls, etc. like that. It was probably just an open area. So I make sure that no hanky-panky goes on. I put my own bed between them. When I see a Jewish girl never put in jail, that the guy are starting to, you know, give her some looks. Masana nafsha, I do anything. I'm most nefesh and matzilnul. I do anything to get her out of there to save her. Yomacha, one day, havanamarasa gabon. The one day there was a betrothed, a young Jewish girl in our custody. That they were looking at her. Shakli dudaita dechamra. I took a jug of wine, v'shadela b'shipul, and I put it through it like on her apron or on her dress to make it look like she was bleeding. And they said, oh, she's having her period. They should stay away from her. That's a great what this person did to save a Jewish girl from being ravished. Amalei, my time alas lechutu. So why don't you have any or alas lechutu? Why don't you have normal shoes? Why don't you have any tzitzis on? And why do you wear these black shoes? And why do you dress like a guy? I go among the goyim, and I want to disappear among them. I want to hide among them, be invisible among them. They shouldn't know I'm Jewish. And I was like, I'm a good spy. They don't know I'm Jewish. When the king goes there, an evil decree on the Jews, I go tell the rabbis, so they could daven. I go tell the rabbis about it, so they could daven to get rid of the gzera immediately. My time season, what's the reason? When I ask you, why did you say, you said, well, leave now, come back tomorrow, enough time. No, I'm like, he shot that just at that time, they were Gozek Zera, Vamina, and I said, you know, you're asking me about my job. Let me first go tell the rabbis about something of immediate nature. They should be able to mispal for it. In other words, you see what a great person he was. And why he dressed like a goyim, in other words, to disappear among the goyim and to mingle with the goyim, and this way he would find out if there are any decrees about the Jews. One more couple lines. Out of Ochi, Ochi. Meanwhile, also out of Trey, there were two other people came. Also, two other people came. Acher, two Achis. Anach Trey. Achi says two brothers came. I'm like Hani Nami Baam Asinu. Elio said. Elio said to her broker, these two are also destined for the next world. What do you do? I'm like, Inshe Beduchanan, we are comedians, Bat Chanin. We make sad people, we make them happy. We saw two guys, this little tigre, that have a fight. We occupy ourselves, we busy ourselves, we make peace between them. So for making people happy and rejoicing, we're Zoka to the, you know, they didn't even know they're going to be Zoka the next world. He just asked them quietly, innocently, what do you do? The jail guard maybe didn't know that he was going to go to Lama either. Leo told Rebroke about that. Rebroke said, what do you guys do? So you learn some good things from these stories. All right, tomorrow again at 5:20, tomorrow's Thursday, it's a short day. 5:20 tomorrow, it's a short day.
It's strange that it switches to first person. In the first story, it's the...